But what Pastor David has allowed me to share is a little bit of what God has been doing in our lives as missionaries. My wife and I went to the mission field over 20 years ago. We went to an indigenous group in the heart of the Amazon jungle. And they were located close to Brazil, well, in Brazil and in Venezuela, but way back in the jungle. No roads, no commercial boat service to the area, 500 miles of just jungle to get there. And we had the privilege of raising our family there, three children. But the Yanomami Shiriana group that we worked with, totally animistic, had no concept of God. No concept of God whatsoever. And in the village that we were in, there were 12 shaman. Now, shaman are people who are constantly in contact with the spirit world, taking hallucinogenic drugs, chanting to the spirits. And I remember going in there, studying the language and getting into the worldview, and I thought, how in the world are these people ever going to believe? How in the world? They are so far removed. They don't even understand who God is. Previous missionaries had also gone in and tried to present Christ, just the gospel of Jesus dying on the cross. It made no sense to them. And why doesn't it make sense? Because Jesus dying on the cross for your sins and my sins only makes sense in the context of this great creator God, who created all of mankind, who is holy, who is just, who sees everything and knows everything. It's only in that context that all of a sudden now Jesus dying on the cross makes sense. So what we did is we started in Genesis, laying the foundation, this creator God who in eternity past, he didn't need anything, but he created this world. Then he created mankind to be in this fellowship with himself. He was a good God, made a great garden, made a great place for people to live. And he gave it to Adam and Eve. But Adam and Eve rebelled. And so we introduce what sin is. Now the people are starting to understand, okay, sin is sin against a holy and a righteous creator God. And the more we progress through the whole Old Testament, getting up to Christ, they began to understand their lostness. And you know what, for me, it was a delight to see the weight of God's holy justice weighing upon them. Because you know what, that's when they're getting ready to hear the gospel. That's when Jesus is actually good news. So it was months of teaching until we got up to the cross. When we presented Christ, what a joy to see so many of these guys trust Christ, put their faith in him, and recognize my sins are forgiven. Before, they didn't even know they were sinners. And in the midst of the teaching, they started to feel their sin. And now Jesus has died on the cross for me. And I remember some of these, a couple of the shaman, I mean, just thrilled. Jesus, he's my older brother. And that's true. You know, scripture says Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. And while we were going through and continuing the teaching year after year and discipling the believers, other shamans started to trust Christ, so that there were about 11 shamans, including all kinds of other people from the village who trusted Christ. Now that got the anthropologists really upset. It really did. It got anthropologists in Europe, in Brazil. So what they did is they got the news media to come in and start making their documentaries. And in these documentaries, we came out as people who are committing ethnocide, the killing of a culture. And they were saying we were in there taking gold and diamonds forcing the people to convert. And there was quite an uproar within the Brazilian society at that time because of these documentaries. And so every time we would come out, it just seemed to be getting worse and worse. So finally we realized, you know what, maybe my presence there, because here's what the anthropologists would do. They'd come up to a shaman and go, hey, few years ago you were a shaman. How come you're not doing that anymore? And they'd say, well, I am following God. I've heard the truth. Who's telling you those things? And so the finger continually got pointed back at me. So I was this big bad person in the anthropologist community. We had other missionaries there. But since I was a primary teacher at the time, we just felt like, you know what, this might be a time to withdraw, let others continue the work. And we did that. And it coincided with a time in which our church, Bayfair, was going through some difficulties, and they asked us to step in and pastor there, which we did eagerly. But recently, and that took a number of years we were there, but recently the Lord has just been burdening our hearts that we have to get back out. We have to get back out and continue the Bible translation, continue to equip new missionaries, as well as equip the Shiriana better, because things aren't getting easier. They're actually getting much harder. The government is trying to crack down, trying to make any type of discipleship illegal. They always cast it in a light in which we're destroying their culture. But I just want to share with you one story of one young man. His name was Paulista. He sat through all this teaching, and you could see the weight of his sin weighing on him, but he just continued to rebel. He went on a trip to another village after we had finished the teaching. It was about 5 days' walk away. The third day into the jungle there, they slept by a stream that was known to have a lot of wild jaguars that were exceptionally fierce. The elders that were with him said, Paulista, nobody go out by yourselves. Always go in a couple in this area. And he was, I'm good. So he went down to the river that was there, was fishing, and he heard this crack, turned around, and here a big jaguar had jumped from the bank, but it had jumped from a log that broke. So the jaguar landed right behind him and then leapt a second time, got way up on his shoulder, almost too high actually, because the jaguar likes to grab you by the back of the neck and just snap your spinal cord. And he was able to jump into the water with this jaguar on his back, yelling for help. He'd go underwater, and as he's underwater, the jaguar doesn't bite underwater. So he'd wait for his head to come up and bite again. And he did this numerous times, calling for help. His buddies came, chased the jaguar away. And it was a few weeks after that, he came back and he said, you know, Brian, he said, God saved my life. I know that God is pursuing me. God wants my sins to be forgiven. He allowed that jaguar to come, but he saved me because God is pursuing me. And it was so neat to see Paulista's just about face. Once he trusted Christ, man, what a change. Just this past month, I got an email from a missionary that is down there. And he said Paulista's was living in a village. Most of this little village are believers. But another village where anthropologists are actually having a lot of influence came and attacked them, beat the elder and his wife, who he was 76, beat them with clubs, beat their daughters, beat their sons, and Paulista as well. Then they also speared Paulista and his brother-in-law, but they were able to just continually spear Paulista until it killed him. So this is the news we just received just a couple of weeks ago. And I had a couple of reactions. One is, people still need the Lord. There's tribes, there's villages of people who don't know who God is. But I'm also so glad that God put it into our hearts to keep the main thing the main thing. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? You know, our time down there, yes, we helped out in medical, we helped, but we kept the main thing, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the answer for you. That's the answer for me. That's the answer for the world. And the Lord is moving us back into that, and we're in the process now of raising up a support team that'll pray for us, a support team that'll come on board with us, because we believe there's so many needs still out there. I want to leave with you three numbers, 29, 3, and 1. 29% of the world is in the least reach category. Do you know what the percentage of missionaries is that targets those 29? It's 3%, armed with 1% of the missionary budget. And you know what? Jesus, God said, for God so loved the world, he loves them. Jesus told his disciples, take this gospel to the nations, make disciples of all nations. And I'm so grateful for the work that believers have done up until now. But there's still 29%, 1.2 billion people in this world that are still waiting to hear the gospel. Let's be people who care about the things that God cares about. And God authentically cares about all people. All people coming to know him and glorify him, because he is so worthy of the praise and glory of every man, woman, and child on the face of this earth. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor David.